Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Here we go. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
I thank you for tuning in once again here to Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson. And later on in the program, we're going to talk to Frank Burleson. Nobody knows more about basketball, prep basketball in Southern California, than Frank Burleson. He's a Hall of Famer, so we'll catch up with Frank in just a couple of minutes. But let's kick off the show by welcoming in our buddy Dan Albano from the Orange County Register, and lots of good stuff going on. Dan, how's everything going?
It is going good, Bob. It's a good time of year, semifinals week. In high school football is one of my favorite times of the year.
So much fun to talk about playoff football. Before we get to that, I want to touch on just a little bit on water polo. Jay Serra won a CIF title in water polo. We're so used to seeing kind of modern day and talk about that. But, you know, Brett Ormsby to take this Jay Serra program to that next level and win that CIF title. I think that's big for the Lions in that program.
I think it is huge for them. You know, Coach Ormsby is only in his second year at Jay Serra.
Right.
He was an Olympian in 2004, a former UCLA star. He came out of Valhalla High School in San Diego, and in a short amount of time, he has done a great job at Jay Serra because they had no seniors on this team, not a one. That's pretty rare to win a CIF title. They're in Division IV, so they're working their way up, but they're, you know, making great progress with a young group. And Coach Ormsby has been a rising star in USA water polo, you know, in the junior youth team levels. He's a very well-regarded guy. The future looks really bright because they just have so many younger players, and he really knows his water polo. And I think the buzz around the pool deck, Bob, is just, you know, what does the future hold for Jay Serra? They're just going to become stronger and stronger. In the Trinity League this year, they were fourth, but their scores were much more competitive this year than in previous years. You know, this was their first CIF title. This is the first time they had been in the CIF finals since 2009. I mean, there's, you know, I think it was about, you know, five or six freshmen that were playing, and all these guys were doing really well. So, you know, they have one of the guys caught my eye, junior center Lachlan Tessier, is a junior center, did really well. One of the goalies I've brought in, Jack Helfer, was a freshman. He played the second half. They got a couple of left-handers, which are kind of prized in water polo. If you have a lefty, you could pass and open up the pool for, you know, different kinds of plays, and they had a couple really good freshmen. One of them was Connor Brower. So, I mean, it was impressive what they have going on there at Jay Serra, and they, you know, they really got a gem in Coach Ormsby.
Yeah, for sure. You knew when they got him, that was a big coup for the Lions, and it's fun to see a young team like that kind of rise up, and boy, it can maybe surprise some people when a CIF title, but you can just see, right, the future really bright there. You've seen Servite, you know, win a title in the last couple of years. As I mentioned, modern day has always been a power in Trinity and Southern California water polo, but we got a new team on the scene, and that's good. So congratulations again to Jay Serra. Speaking of young teams that make that maybe kind of surprised some people this year as we go back to the gridiron, Servite. And I know their season is finished now, a very close loss to a really good Mission Viejo team. And Servite certainly had their chances to win that football game. But the growth that we saw out of the Friars this year, knowing how young they are, boy, I tell you, the future again looks bright. And we know the coaching staff's in place with Troy Thomas back over there. Servite, I think, is ready to push their way in this next year or two back into the top of the Trinity if everything falls right for them.
I agree. I mean, they made a tremendous amount of progress this year, and they really made a big leap. And it was a lot of it was the young players. They had an interesting blend. They have some key seniors as well, especially on that offensive line that will be hard to replace. But they had, you know, the emergence of Noah Fifita, sophomore quarterback. What a season he had. He's just has such a presence about him. He works so well with the receivers. Such a great feel for the offense. He works so well with second year probably offensive coordinator Darnell, who came in with Coach Troy Thomas. Such a great connection there. He knows these receivers. And then playing with another sophomore receiver, T-Mac McMillan, turned out to be just an absolute force in his first year of varsity football. And there's a lot of other talented sophomores on this team. You know, they didn't get quite over the hump because they came up just short against Mission Viejo, as you mentioned, just short against St. John Bosco in that, you know, that 27-26 loss. But I think they got just enough of a feel that they know what they need to to do to get to the next level and break through in those games. They had impressive wins, for example, against Jay Serra. And, you know, they pushed to, you know, pretty high in the Trinity League standings. They were third this year behind, you know, modern day St. John Bosco. So it was a great progress year, and I think they'll just continue to probably get better.
And let's face it, whether people like it or not, in this day and age of transfers and kids kind of being free agents in a way and looking for schools to go to, Servite is square now in the center of everything as a destination for kids to be looking at once again to go and play at.
Yeah, you know, those are, and then it starts to get into the bigger questions of, you know, administratively, school vision wise, mm-hmm. where do you want to go? You know, and from what I have seen of Servite, they haven't been a huge transfer destination in terms of getting guys in. Have they had some transfers? Yes. But what school hasn't, right? But I know in the past, you know, they have their formation process where the boys go through freshman formation, and they take that very seriously at Servite. So there's times where if you miss that your freshman year, you end up doing it your sophomore year. And, you know, I don't know exactly all the rules in terms of when they bring guys along for that freshman formation, which continues throughout the whole 4 years. So we'll have to see about that as far as, you know, where all that goes. But is it an attractive destination? Sure, because they're, you know, they're playing the Trinity League. They're playing a high level. Their offense looks awful fun to play in. But I know that the freshman formation and the whole formation program at Servite does make it a little bit different than, you know, a lot of schools.
Very true. Dan Albano on the line with us. Nobody's got more hustle in his game than Dan, getting all around Southern California, covering everything. I swear you're everywhere. Every time I look here, you're at a different place. You're covering something, it seems like, 7 days a week. And we appreciate it, and all the readers appreciate it. Get all your OC Varsity stuff. We know Santa Margarita's kind of rebuilding, so I think not much really to talk about as far as there. But Brent Wieselmeyer, I think, is going to hopefully get that thing back and rolling at Santa Margarita as well. To me, as I move on to Jay Serra, I think if you want to talk about disappointments, the way things kind of broke down for Jay Serra this year, and I know Chris Street's injury was a big thing at the end, but to lose the way they did to Centennial, to finish off the season, to get shut out like that, I think you have to consider this a very disappointing season for the Lions. Where do they go from here at this point? I mean, this was the team that was supposed to really, you know, make that move in the Trinity. It didn't happen. Make the move in the post season, it didn't happen again, and then that Jay Serra program looks to be in a little bit of flux, even though they've got a really good quarterback still in General Booty that's going to have a senior season coming up. But what do we make of this season from the Lions?
You know, it was perplexing for sure, Bob. You know, and especially by on Jay Serra's own standards, you know, being around their program, knowing how they, what kind of pride they have, what kind of expectations they have, they're not interested in 6 or 5 years in, you know, getting blown out 56-0. You know, in the first round of the playoffs. So that's not, you know, they have just too many, you know, competitive kids there, kids that are, you know, going on and playing big time college, you know, going on college football. They have really good coaches. Coach Harlow is outstanding. He's a good man, a good father, and has a good perspective about him. He knows football, and he has some very good coaches on that staff. But it did unravel. I think they had some depth issues. I don't think they got to, you know, ever get the offensive line going the way they wanted to. The Chris Street injury was big. They just never really got him loose this year, I think, the way they wanted to and the way he was able to run his junior campaign. And then, you know, then they had to go into Centennial. And they have a really good, another player, Sammy Green, is a very fast, explosive junior mm-hmm. who helped carry the ball, but then he's also a key defensive back, and they kind of needed him. And I think part of it, too, is that Centennial is starting to roll big time, and this is what they're capable of, and it was going to be a bad matchup. But I think it was a combination of, you know, Jay Serra sliding at the end of the year. I think they lost 3 of their last 4 games, and then they caught a really hot Centennial team on the road. They don't have Chris Street, who's also kind of is definitely a leader for them. So I think they have some questions at quarterback. They do have to figure that out, which, you know, I would think, you know, there was a lot of rotations at quarterback. As much as you know, Booty has been highly regarded, we did see a lot of Garrett Phillips this year, a senior, and that continued in the last game. They have Trey Warren is a well-regarded junior. There's a freshman that made some appearances this year at quarterback. They're going to have to probably continue to work on that offensive line, try to find some more depth. They have a lot of talent on that player, but it'll be interesting on that team. They have a lot of talent there, and they also didn't have a lot of speed at wide receiver. They're definitely going to have to watch the offseason of Jace there and see what happens there.
And we're still at the top of the league. We still got the top two teams nationally. Certainly, in modern days, easy victory over Bosco, and I think it was an easy victory. I think maybe some other people may have some different viewpoints on that, but I don't think they were really challenged all that much by Bosco in that game for the most part. And so we're still looking at modern day as not only the best team in Southern California, in the nation, and anywhere you can find. I don't think there's a better high school football team than what modern day has, and that's saying a lot. Because the last 2 years they won national titles, and they just seem to be rolling on to a third one again this year. And it's hard to find a weakness on this Monarch football team right now.
No, it's all setting up really well for the Monarchs. And, you know, they play Mission Viejo, you know, playing Mission Viejo in the semifinals. I think that's a game that they should, you know, control and win and get to the finals. And on the other side of the bracket, meanwhile, you know, Bosco's got to go out to Centennial, yeah, Corona and play a sizzling hot Husky team. And I think Bosco is going to win that game, but they're going to be taxed. I think they're going to have to put out a big effort, and it's probably going to take a lot out of them. But, you know, then they'll hook it up in the finals once again. You know, modern-day Bosco, we'll see where the chess match develops and where they can adjust. And there's some things that Bosco can do better. They're going to have to worry about just the Huskies this week in the semifinals, but there's some things that they could have done better against modern-day in the big training league clash. You know, second play from scrimmage, they're giving up a 50-yarder, giving up a sack right away. You know, or three, they had a big three and out. They just didn't come out. They, you know, modern day came out and got the momentum and seized control of that game. And Bosco was at home, and they came out so flat and not aggressive, had some big defensive breakdowns. And it's very tough the way Bryce Young is playing. They have such a combination of Bryce has got such a control of that offense, the way he's distributing the ball. Bosco did not, they really struggled to cover Cody Epps, who's having a record-setting year at modern day, setting all kinds of records for touchdown receptions, receptions overall, receiving yards. They had no answer for him. But yeah, Bryce, a dual threat, the big offensive line, Eric Johnson dialing up a defense with guys like Rajon Davis and Jalen Davies at cornerback, and they have good depth on the D-line and good schemes. Yeah, they're tough to beat. They're tough to beat. And I'm thinking that it's going to be 3 years because, I don't know, they played such a great schedule. They have such great leadership and a character guy in Bryce Young doing and saying all the right things at all the right times. You just have to kind of tip your hat to them right now, the way they're playing.
Yeah, without a doubt. Is this sustainable? I mean, can we see modern day continue to be this team? Or you know, we talk about, you know, Bosco's right there with them. We thought Jay Sarah was going to make a leap. They didn't. Servite seems certainly primed to make that leap. But are we looking at modern day just kind of hunkering down and being this kind of a program now from here on out?
Well, then you start to get into the big, you know, big questions on what's going to happen in the offseason, because modern day is going to lose Bryce Young, right, and that's going to be a huge loss. But let's be realistic. The fans will stay out there, and the great football fans that really follow this stuff closely, they're just going to say somebody else, you know, another kid is going to transfer in and take that spot, and mm-hmm. they're not going to lose a beat. You know, the other questions you always hear about is, you know, is how long, you know, what I get all the time, maybe you do, I'm sure, as well, how much longer can Bruce Rawlinson continue to coach? And so you wonder about, you know, some of the transition, how it does go. They have some young players still. A lot of those guys that in the secondary at linebacker, they still have some young receivers. They're going to lose a lot on the and they still have some young offensive linemen. They're kind of mixed and matched. But they're modern day. They have gotten some transfers like everyone has. So it'll be interesting what happens as far as if a quarterback, an elite quarterback, doesn't come in, that's going to be a huge hit. Though they are very talented at running back. You know, I really like some of the guys that have emerged. Quincy Craig is a name to remember at sophomore. He's tearing it up on special teams. Yetz came in his first year, Narbonne transfer. He's looked good. Both those guys will be back. The secondary is pretty much all back. But if without Bryce Young as the control, they are a different team. It seems like, you know, Coach Rollinson is, it seems like he's really enjoying this. He's not giving any signs of, I'm not getting signs that, you know, that he's going to be departing anytime soon. as far as after the season. It doesn't feel like that to me, but certainly we could be surprised, and he will.
As I talk to Coach Rawlinson, he always answers me with the same thing. What else would I do, right? I'm a football coach.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but, I mean, it's obviously just a personal decision. But it'd be such an interesting thing because, he's got all those assistants. Those are Rawlinson guys that he's coached with and said, very long relationships with it. So, it would be interesting what happens. They have an outstanding coaching staff, Dave Money, their offensive coordinator, who's working so well with Bryce. The list goes on, but they are a tight-knit group of coaches, and they're playing everybody. Seems like they're trying to challenge themselves. I mean, obviously, this kind of schedule that Modern Day is playing, they go out to Phoenix this year. They played the St. Francis game, that, powerhouse team from Maryland, and they came out and they went at back east to St. John's. And we know last year they went to Bishop Gorman. They're trying to play everybody
right. They
can possibly play. They'll probably play some great team from Florida or Texas. Who have they not played, right? That's what it seems like they're going to try to do. Every year they'll just try to keep, testing themselves, and, we'll see where it goes if there is, if there's any kind of limit to it. But right now they just continue to, push forward.
Without a doubt. Dan, thanks for taking a couple of minutes, catching us up on what's going on. Catch all this great stuff at OCVarsity.com and at OCVarsityGuy on Twitter. Thanks again, Dan. We'll catch up with you soon.
Great talking to you, Bob.
You too. That's Dan Albano from the Orange County Register. Much more to come right here on Catholic Sports View. We'll be right back. You're listening to Relevant Radio. Welcome back to the program, and let's welcome in Frank Burleson. If there's anybody that knows more about basketball, I don't think they exist on the planet. Frank, we thank you for giving us a couple of minutes, and it's finally basketball season, but as you were just telling me, it's always basketball season, right?
Well, these are the ones where they actually count the record and contribute to where teams are seated in February for the Southern Section and L.A. City playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, it's probably a little condescending to all the people who coach summer and spring and fall basketball, but it's, as I like to refer to it, this is the real season where real referees are working and real time clocks and guys actually call hanging on the rim and travel and things like that.
You can catch Frank's work. Burleson on basketball.com is his website, and at Frankie Burr. He's a great follow on Twitter as well. That's at Frankie Burr. All right. I hear a well-kept secret around Southern California that Sierra Canyon might have a pretty decent team this year. I mean, normally I would just start with our Trinity League schools, and we'll get there in just a second, but I have to start with Sierra Canyon because there's no bigger story when it comes to basketball in Southern California than the Trailblazers.
Well, in terms of high school basketball, you could go beyond Southern California and just say nationally, for a couple of reasons. Obviously, under Andre Chevalier, their coach, they won consecutive state open division championships, and last year won the first Southern Section Open Championship, and again lost, Cassius Stanley's at Duke, Scotty Pippen Jr.'s at Vanderbilt, K.J. Martin's at a prep school in Florida, the three, if you will, core of that team. But, returning to Mari Bailey, the freshman guard, and Taryn Frank,
right. Good
forward. But as you well know, Bob, and even with all significant transfers like Zaire Williams, and who I think is the number two player in the West behind Evan Mobley, and then B.J. Boston from Georgia's going to Kentucky, the reason for this huge, huge buzz in the basketball community and the kind of the non-basketball community is just that, the sons of LeBron James and Dwayne Wade have enrolled at school and will be playing for the Trailblazers this year. Zaire Wade is a senior guard, left-handed guard, by way of Miami, and LeBron James Jr., better known as Bronny, he of the zillion Instagram followers and that kind of thing. He's just a very good freshman. But again, I think the buzz is in large part because of the, as I refer to him, basketball royalty now on the roster. Not that they didn't have it before with, Pippen and Kenyon Martin's son, but because, James certainly being a Laker now and Wade being such a visible presence for, 15-plus years in the NBA, that's created a lot of buzz. And again, I think going to be a very, very good team, certainly, when the newcomers blend in and by February or March. But I think probably at the expense in terms of the hypes of programs like Modern Day and Etowanda and certainly Rancho Christian, as I mentioned, with, Evan Mobley, who dollars to donuts. I love that phrase, by the way, dollars to donuts.
That's not used enough. You're right. We got to bring that back better.
We'll be the number one pick in the 2021 draft at, 6'11 or 7 foot. But again, people checked the other day. I did my preseason Southern California top 30 plus 10 honorable mentions, and you can see kind of how I plotted it out and how I kind of explained. In my mind, there's at least four teams that are probably on the same tier, and certainly Sierra Canyon's modern day and Etiwanda and Rancho Christian, based on mostly for modern day and Etiwanda and Rancho Christian, who they have back, and certainly Sierra Canyon, who they have back, and then newcomers beyond just James and Wade.
I don't want to spend too much time on them. We'll get into some other things, because there'll be plenty of attention placed on Sierra Canyon all season long. But you mentioned, Frank, Martin, Pippen. These are all sons of former NBA players, and now we've got two more that have come aboard. How did Coach Chevalier get to the point where he's going to get the sons of all these great NBA players are going to come matriculate through his school?
I think summer of 2018, or whenever, when LeBron signed his free agency with the Lakers and became a full-time resident of Southern California. Certainly, I think he'd have multiple homes for the things the millionaire sent me at the age.
He could buy a home anywhere, right?
Yeah, they have homes anywhere. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a max contract guy in the NBA who doesn't have one or two homes in Malibu or Pacific Palisades or whatever. So I think once he moved there and his whole family moved with him from Cleveland, then, where does he go? When does he send his oldest son, LeBron Jr., to school? And I think, the high profile success of Sierra Canyon on the highest level of high school competition in the state of California, and to a degree nationally too. And I think the fact that several former NBA players, who I'm sure he knows, obviously Pippen and Kenyon Martin, I'm sure just watching Sierra Canyon play the last couple of years and last year, and the great job Andre Chevalier did as coach in terms of blending players with a lot of different backgrounds and obviously a lot of highly skilled players, and a great job. And he really, I think the one thing the last couple of years that have been maybe lost a little bit in terms of Sierra Canyon's success is what a great job Andre Chevalier did. And it's hard. Basketball, like every sport and every other creative or artistic or performance entity in the world, a lot of times is very egocentric in terms of great athletes, great performers, great artists also oftentimes have great egos, and understandably so. And so the fact that with, all these talented young players and some high-profile fathers sitting on the sideline, the job Chevalier did in blending these guys and getting teams to play together and give up a lot of individual stuff for the betterment of the team speaks volumes for what kind of coach he is. And I think, I think certainly LeBron and Dwayne Wade getting to know Andre and getting to know the program, getting the way, his philosophy was an attractive program. So it didn't surprise me at all that when the Wades and James relocated out here, that they ended up at Sierra Canyon.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Let's transition into our Trinity League schools. And
sure.
If Sierra Canyon's number one and Modern Day's number two, I have a feeling there's a bit of a chasm between one and two. And that's not to slight Modern Day at all, but that's just the level of talent Sierra Canyon has. But this Modern Day team really lines up to be one of the best ones that Gary McKnight has had in recent years.
Yeah, Bob, I think, and again, if people go to my rankings, they saw that I had actually Rancho Christian 1, Modern Day 2, Sierra Canyon 3, Etiwanda 4. So again, I think that there's four teams, four programs with, level of coaching, level of experience, level of talent that it's tough to pick. Again, it'll all play out come February and March
when
playoffs start, things like that. But again, I think, as you mentioned, Gary certainly in 37 years or whatever it's going on now, as modern day's coach, sitting down discussing the best one of those would take probably a week and would probably lead to a lot of deep contemplation. But I think this team, in terms of the depth, in terms of individual skill level of players, in terms of, certainly Breidenbach and Askew, what they did sophomores last year on the highest level of basketball, and individually what those guys did in non-modern day competition, be it, you know, Nike, UIBL competition, ASCU, and Breidenbach, both were starters and key players for the Russell Westbrook, Nike YBL Why Not team that went to the finals in Peach Jam, and, you know, the Davidson brothers and Aiden Prukup and Ryan Evans. And in my mind, the guy that's going to surprise a ton of modern-day people or people who follow modern-day who haven't had a chance to see him since the end of the regular season, I think Logan Kremanowski is really going to be, if not a starter, certainly playing starter minutes and going to have years. So I think there's a deep, deep modern-day team with skill, you know, very, very skilled, experienced, tough-minded guys. And I think this modern-day team has a chance to win it all. I mean, they were played certainly the second time around when they played Sarah Cannon in the Southern State Southern Open Regional Finals. Yeah, that was, what, 2-3-point game with a minute to go, and they ended up losing by 10. But so, again, I think there's reason for optimism for modern day, as there is at a bunch of programs, certainly in the Trinity League as well as modern day.
I thought at the end of last season we really saw that extra, I don't know, there seemed to be that growth that we saw kind of from this team. I mean, obviously we knew what Askew could do. Breidenbach had certainly shown what he could do, but it certainly seemed like as they got into the playoffs, there was really just another gear maybe that they kicked into. Is there even more growth in this team? Can we see them make another big step up?
Yeah, in large reason because, A, everyone's come back. So, you know, a year of maturity, physical maturity, emotional maturity, basketball experience, skills development. It's inevitable that they're going to get better. And I think the coaching staff probably schematically and philosophically won't be as, you know, not to say that they're reticent in doing some things, but I think they'll know, okay, we could do a few more things defensively, more offensively, because, again, we've got a whole group that's been together for, in some cases, a couple of years with Breidenbach and Askew and Prukup, but with, you know, Ryan Evans and everybody else and the Davidson's brothers and, you know, a pretty good group of two or three freshmen who might be able to get some key minutes if it came down to that. Again, I just think there's a whole lot of options, a whole lot of ways modern day can play, a whole lot of guys that they can go to for in key moments of games, and a whole lot of matchup issues they're going to create for everybody they play, be it, you know, someone in the Corona Del Mar tournament or someone in the state or sectional open division playoffs.
Frank Burleson, our guest. BurlesonOnBasketball.com is the website you want to go to. And, of course, at Frankie Burr, B-U-R, on Twitter as well. Santa Margarita, CIF title a year ago, but a brand-new head coach and some big changes there. Same kind of idea, I think, for Orange Lutheran, you know, brand-new coach coming in, an interim coach. I think both those programs we're kind of looking at is rebuilding time for the two of them. So I think we can set them aside just for a little bit right now when we're talking about the upper echelon teams. In the Trinity, it would look like Bosco would be probably the second best team in there. But boy, I want to get to Jay Sarah in just a second. I really like what Jay Sarah is doing over there. I think that's a team that may be able to come later in the year.
Oh, I think they're going to be good. In fact, again, when people get a chance to take a look, who haven't seen it already, look at the website. I had, I think, Jay Sarah 8, Boston 6, and Modern Day 2. So I had three Trinity League teams and my top 8 teams in Southern California, which is Southern Section and L.A. City Section combined. And if you want to do a projection, as I told people, well, you look at that, well, that's who I think right now, and I am on the selection committee, but that's, you know, a long way up. But I think those are the 8 teams going into the season. Sierra Cannon, Rancho Christian, Modern Day, Etowah, L.A. Windward, very, very good team.
Yeah.
With a couple of tremendous sophomores, and then Bosco, Jay Sarah, and Harvard Westlake, another program that's very, very good. So I think in my mind, those are the 8 best teams going into the season. A lot of things change with injuries, illness, player defections. There's a multitude of players now that are going to become eligible December 30th, you know, the transfers who didn't make physical moves by home. So you're going to see, you know, Sierra Cannon's win those, Zaire Williams. I mean, top 10 player in the country was at Notre Dame. Sherman Oaks becomes eligible on December 30th, which would be the last day of the Classic at Damien, which I'm involved with, and which is far and away the best high school tournament.
That's going to be a lot of fun,
anyway.
Frank, we want to thank you for taking a couple of minutes going over the basketball landscape with us. The season is going to be so much fun. Dollars to donuts, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, of course, that makes me hungry for some glazed donuts or something. You know, whatever. Okay, Bob.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Great visit, buddy.
want to thank both my guests. Frank Burleson, burlesononbasketball.com is his website again. And, of course, from the Orange County Register, Dan Albano. If you want to join us here on the show, you can always give us an email as well. That's catholicsportsview@gmail.com. And you can catch us on Twitter as well. That's @CatholicSV. We thank you again for joining us this week, and we'll see you next Saturday right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio, exploring where athletics meets faith. Spread the word about our broadcast, and we'll catch up with you again next week at this same time on Relevant Radio.